I invite you to please turn to the book of John, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10. Would like to read verse 7 down through verse 18. My text will be verse 18. John chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so nigh know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. This past week serves as a vivid reminder of death. We are aware of the devastating wildfires in the Smoky Mountains of East Tennessee. We are aware that the death toll stands at 13, two of whom were Memphians. The Summers family went to celebrate their twins' birthdays, but in their escape, the family was separated by the smoke and flames. Three boys barely survived, while the parents have been confirmed dead. A tragic loss indeed. And it saddens our hearts. And yes, we are made to ponder death and dying. We know, do we not, that death comes in a myriad of forms? That is, some die by accidents. Others are victims. Some by suicide. And most people die in a natural fashion. We also know that the means by which life is ended are many. And permit me to say that really all that boils down to simply as the fact that for whatever reason, the body ceases to function and the person dies. And then, of course, there is the reason for dying, and that's varied as well. For example, some die as soldiers fighting for a cause. Others die while trying to rescue someone else. Some are thrill seekers whose thrill went a little too far. And further, some have a cause for which they are martyred. Most die from an infirmity of the flesh. Some by accident, some as victims, and as mentioned before, some just simply desire to lose the desire to live. You get the idea, I need not belabor the point. It matters not whether you're famous or unknown, wealthy or poor, educated or uneducated, or I might add, the color of your skin. People die. Friends die. Family members die. We will die. And I would like for us to consider one man who died, not by accident, but on purpose. One whose body was mutilated and afflicted and thereby ceased to live. One whose death was a great loss, but at the same time, the greatest gain. I speak to you from John chapter 10 and verse 18 where Jesus spoke a message which I have entitled, I Lay It Down of Myself. That's what he said. That's what we will concern ourselves with today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that are able to be with us. And Lord, our heart goes out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We pray that you bless them and meet their needs. And we just cast them before you. And yet we've come together here today in your name. And the hearts are many and the needs are many. And you know those needs. We thank specifically for the loss that, Lord, those that are without you, that you would convict them today, draw them to Jesus. We pray that they might be saved. Help them to recognize him today as we discuss his statement here in our text. And for those of us who are saved, we rejoice in the salvation we have through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we should always recognize what it took to secure that salvation. So either way, Father, work in our hearts by your Spirit. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified and lifted up above all. And we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. We think in our passage here in chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me, I lay it down of myself." Now the context is the statement of, yes, laying down of his life, but in such a fashion he compares it to the a shepherd watching over his sheep. And so as he guards his sheep, if there should come a wolf or a lion or anyone who would come and steal and to destroy his sheep, he's willing to defend. He's willing to lay down his life. Why? Because he's the shepherd. And the shepherd loves his sheep. But he contrasts that to the hireling, one who's just a paid hand. He really doesn't care much for the sheep. He's just doing a job. So he really doesn't have any commitment. And so when the wolf comes or the thieves come, he's the first one out of there. He's not going to lay down his life. It's just not enough for him. And so we find that Jesus, however, he is the one who is willing to lay down his life. So carry that with you as we discuss these things in the text today. The first thing I want to mention as we look into verse 18, he says, "No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." The first thing is that it was volunteer. He gave up his life. Now, we know that Jesus was executed at the hands of the Romans. We know that the Jews had delivered him up to the Roman government, and they put him and nailed him to a cross, and that's how he died. He was scourged and lost a lot of blood. He suffered on the cross till his body gave up the ghost, and we'll talk about that again in a few minutes. But he says, "I lay it down of myself." But he laid down his life of his own will, of his own way. He died in his own time. It wasn't as an unexpected result of the hands of the Romans. It wasn't like, and the Romans were very adept at this, at just arresting people, finding them guilty and nailing them to crosses or executing them for whatever reason. But he wasn't like that. It wasn't that he wasn't planning on it. It wasn't that he didn't know that they caught him by surprise. Not at all. It wasn't because the Jewish conspirators couldn't be stopped. We know the Jewish leadership hated him, and the crowds revolted against him, and they yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." Could he still have walked away? He could have. Even when he was nailed to the cross, he could have called the legions of angels to come and rescue him, but he did not. He stayed on the cross. Why? Because he laid down his own life. It was voluntary. And so he wasn't a victim of the Romans. He wasn't overpowered by the Jews and just succumbed to their whims. No, that's not the case at all. And certainly it wasn't by accident. It wasn't that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I saw an article a couple weeks ago in a newspaper about somebody was standing on a street corner up there around Clarksville, Tennessee. I don't remember exactly where it was at, but they were standing on the street, and somebody was driving down the road, and a deer ran out in front of them. And the guy in the car hit the deer, knocked the deer airborne, hit the guy standing on the side of the road and killed him. Now, that's in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's the providence of God. It's just what's going to happen. That guy just got wiped out by a deer. And he didn't even have anything to do with it. But Jesus did not die that way. This was all voluntarily. Jesus died knowingly. He died willingly. And I want to remind you that his death was with purpose in mind. He just wasn't saying, "Well, I'm just going to die for the fun of it." Absolutely not. He had a purpose in his death. But his death was also a demonstration of unselfishness. He could have come off the cross. He could have said no, but he did not. He willingly gave up his life. And so we find when Jesus says, "I lay it down of myself," that it was volunteer. It was a voluntary effort. Secondly, I want to submit unto you that it was sacrificial. Sacrificial. Just look at that word "it." "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." What is he making a reference toward? Back up to verse 17. He says, "I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down." What is he talking about? The very life that he had, the existence in this body, that he sacrificed his life. And so when Jesus gave up
and surrendered to the will of the Jews, to the will of the Romans, and then gave up the ghost into the hands of his heavenly Father, he surrendered his life. We all have life today. And if you were to die, your life is gone. It's taken from you. Jesus willingly gave up his life. If someone breaks in here today, and as has happened in other places around our nation, and accosts us with a weapon, then you might get shot, you might die. You don't choose to die, you don't want to die, you're not looking to die today, but it could happen. You could die of a heart attack before this service is over. That can happen, but Jesus, it was a voluntary death. It was a sacrificial death because he willingly surrendered his life. And by the way, that's more than just a mere inconvenience. I heard a joke many years ago about the chicken and the hog discussing breakfast. And, they decided that they wanted bacon and eggs, but the hog looked at the chicken and said, "Well, for you, it's just a minor inconvenience. For me, it's a total sacrifice." And, that's absolutely true. The chicken can give up the egg, but the hog's going to have to die in order to give up the bacon. And Jesus' death was not a mere inconvenience. I mean, he gave up his life. Now, what we do when we witness, when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't we offer salvation full and free? Don't we tell sinners, you can have forgiveness of sins, you can have a home in heaven, and you can become a child of God, and you can't earn it, you can't deserve it, there isn't anything you can do to merit it, and you can't pay for it in any way whatsoever. And so we offer to sinners salvation full and free. But we must never ever forget that salvation cost the life of His Son. Even as we think about the freedom we have in this nation, and we say, oh, we're a free nation, and we are. Do you know why? Because of the lives of the men and women down through the years that gave up their lives to preserve the freedom of this country. Now, Jesus Christ gave up his life. Very valuable, very precious. He gave up his life, and so it was sacrificial. He says, I lay it down of myself. My life, I lay it down. He sacrificed his life. Third, I submit unto you that it was planned. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we mentioned, was not by accident. He was not a victim, but it was planned. Look into verse 18. He says, I have power to lay it down. I have power. The word there for power is authority. I have the authority. At the end of verse 18, it says, this commandment have I received of my Father. God the Father gave the Son the authority to lay down his life. I guarantee you there was no way under the sun that Jesus would have died before the time that he died. Do you know why? Because he had power over his own life. He would never become a victim. He would never die by accident. He would not be submitted to circumstances beyond his control. We are, but he would never be. And so he says, I have power. I have authority. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In the process of time. And so Jesus came into this world at the exact point of time. He became the Son of God into this world so that we might have eternal life. And you know what? When He left this world, He left on His timing, not anybody else's. Yeah, everything was planned about it. Back up to verse 11. Notice, and we read in this before in the reading, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That was the intent. The shepherd will do that. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. That was his idea. That was his plan from the beginning. That's why he came to earth. I have power to lay it down. And so again, it was not by accident. It wasn't because these people couldn't be stopped. Well, the Jews just got out of control, and the Romans, they just had too much force and power. Absolutely not. And let me submit unto you, when I think about the planned death of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death was not without meaning. You know, some people, they die, I mean, really, it's just like, they die, that's it. He had meaning to His death. He willingly laid down His life. And as I submitted unto you, He had complete control over His life. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter, just a few pages back to your left. Luke chapter 23. While you're turning over there, I'll remind you of several places in the Scriptures where you will find that the people wanted to do something to him, but it says his time was not yet. I like that phrase. His time was not yet. And we never know our time, but for him, he had a particular time. And his time was not yet. So if they wanted to cast him off the hill in Nazareth, his time was not yet. If they wanted to stone him with stones, his time was not yet. And he just walked through the midst of the crowd and escaped. Over in Luke chapter 23, where I've invited you to turn, I ask you to look at the verse 46, when Jesus did finally die, as he hung there on the cross, and he was on the cross for approximately 6 hours. In verse 46 it says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." You know why he died at that time, about 3 p.m? Because he gave up his life. If he wanted to die at 4, that's when he would have died. If he wanted to die at 5, that's when he would have died. He didn't die because he ran out of blood. He didn't die because he was scourged, and all that had contributed to his death. But he had control over his death. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, into your hands, God, I commend my spirit. And then what did he do? He dismissed his spirit and he died. Now, I trust that you understand that we cannot do that. We do not have that power. I remind you of a verse over in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to read chapter 8 and verse 8. This is what Solomon wrote. Very wise man. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Do you recognize there that no man has power over the spirit to retain the spirit? I'll tell you, my friend, I'm glad for technology. I'm glad for doctors and nurses like Sister Paula and others that Brittany that help other people. But you know what? If it's my time to die, they can do anything they want to me. I'm going to die. Do you know why? Because I cannot retain my spirit. They can't retain my spirit. Now, I'm glad, and God will use doctors and nurses and procedures and surgeries and electric shocks and all that. Yeah, God will use all that to preserve a person's life. But you know why they're living? They're living because God said, "I'm not done with you yet. You're still there because it's not time for you to be gone." But the truth is, among men, we do not have power over that. You say, "Well, I can jump out in front of a train and I won't die." Well, you don't know that. Now, chances are you probably will. But there have been people that have, there have been people falling out of skyscrapers. There's people that parachuted out of airplanes and their chute didn't open and they bounced when they got down there. And they didn't die. It's possible. There are people who jump out in front of trains that don't die. There are people who get shot and don't die. All kinds of things can happen and you not die. You say, "Well, I can do it and make myself die." Only if God allows you to do it. You see, you have no power over your spirit to retain the spirit, but neither hath he power in the day of his death. And so you don't have control over that. We must rely upon God. And he says there's no discharge in that war, which means, by the way, you will die. So if you think that you're going to skirt death by having them freeze your body and cryogenically bring you back in 600 years when they figure all that out, you're wasting your time. You will not be discharged in that war. You're facing that battle. You're physical. You're going to die. Now, this was all planned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the only one who is not under that rule of Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8. Why? Because he said, "My Father has given me authority over my life. And I lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I have the authority to take it again." That's the Lord Jesus. Now, when we consider the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the picture in our text, in the passage about a shepherd taking care of his sheep, let me submit unto you then in the fourth aspect, when I think about Jesus laying down his life in a voluntary fashion, I believe that it was necessary. He gave up his life, and it was absolutely necessary for us, not for him, but for us. Because the truth is, when you read the scriptures, we find that we're sinners. And, we really don't have any avenue of righteousness. You've already sinned against God. You've already transgressed. You have indictments against you. You can't fix those things. You're already a lawbreaker. You're already children of wrath. And you're dead in trespasses and sins. You're at warfare with God. You're enemies of God. And the truth is, you just don't have anything to offer God. So if God's going to bring a people to heaven, then He must provide a way for them. And He has chosen to provide a way through His Son. And Jesus willingly came to give up His life so that I might have eternal life. Now that's good news. And so I submit unto you that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely necessary in order for Him to give me eternal life. It was for Him to die so that I might have salvation. And there really is no other way for us. Listen, if you will, I want to read a verse out of the book of Galatians in chapter 3 and in verse 21. It says this, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid." Listen, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the fact is, there is no law that can bring life. You say, but I keep the commandments, I'll treat my neighbor right, I do the best that I can, if I do this, I do that, then I can earn my way into heaven. No, the Bible's very clear. Very, very clear. If there was a law that could have given life, then God would have done it that way. But there is no law that can give life, therefore Jesus came to die for sinners. He became a sacrifice. There is no other way, my friend, absolutely needful for us, for Jesus Christ to die in our place. You see, as you look into our passage here, and we find in verse 15 that the sheep were in danger. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, we read in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Why is that? Because there are dangers out there. The wolves are out there. And the lions are out there. There are thieves out there. And He says, I am the shepherd and I love my sheep and I will protect them. I'm so thankful for that. I'm glad that Jesus Christ willingly laid down His life in His own time so that I might be preserved. How beautiful that is. And very clearly, there's just no other possible way for forgiveness. So if you think you're getting to heaven because you've been baptized, you need to rethink it. If you believe you're getting to heaven because you joined the church or you're treating your neighbor right, you need to rethink it. Because the Bible is clear, there is no other way. It is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. He is the only Savior. And my friend, without it, you will not be forgiven. You will not enter into heaven. The death of Jesus Christ was absolutely necessary for us. But then I would remind you in the next point, when I think about the sacrifice of Christ and how He laid it down for us, and I believe it was by love. Why did He do this? Well, John 3:16, you know that verse, don't you? Let's see if I can remember it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that He gave up His Son gave up His life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. This one I do not have the memory. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10. I submit unto you this Jesus who willingly gave up His life at the right time, in the right fashion, with the right purpose, did so because He loved me. And dear saved person, He did so because He loved you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Wow, how tremendous is that? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, a covering for our sins. That's just lovely, isn't it? We do not love God. Now, there are many people that think, oh, well, I choose God, I love God, I've done this. The Bible says you were dead, you hated God, you went away from God, there's nothing to do with good, no, not one. You didn't seek after Him, He sought after you, if you're saved. And He says in the text here that it's not because we love God, but He loved us. He loved us, and He became a propitiation or a covering for our sins. You see, He shed His blood so that His blood might wash away our sin. Why did He leave heaven? Why did He come to earth? Why did He suffer in the fashion that He suffered? Why did He die in the way that He died? It was because He loved His own. That's why. His death was volunteer. His death was a supreme, ultimate sacrifice. And His death was accomplished for someone else. Let me ask you, what further evidence do you need of Jesus being a caring, compassionate, God, one full of love. What more evidence do you need? That he would die that you might have eternal life.
Then I would submit unto you as you, if you've departed from the text, to go back to our text. But the last point is this. Jesus said, I lay it down of myself. And I believe, rooted in his love, the last point we just noticed, that it was a work of grace. I stand before you today as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God, not by anything that I have done, but simply by the grace of God. He deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. He's the one that came to me and he saved me and gave me life. I did not deserve it. Why would the good shepherd do such a thing? Well, it wasn't by force. It's amazing how mankind is so self-centered and, well, they think they can make God do this and make God do that. God is a sovereign God, my friend. You can't make him do anything. And what you do in your life doesn't affect him one bit. You can't force God to save you. You can't do it. It wasn't by force that he came. It wasn't by force that he died. He willingly laid down his life. That's what he said. I laid down on myself. And I submit unto you that it wasn't by deception either. The Father didn't trick him. The devil didn't trick him. And man didn't trick him in going to the cross. He knew exactly what he was doing when he did it, and he willingly laid up his life. Again, I remind you, he said, I could presently call the legions of angels. But he didn't. I'm so glad that he didn't. Because I'll tell you, if Jesus would have come down off the cross, I would not have eternal life. And you would not have eternal life. It was absolutely necessary for Jesus to die on that cross in the manner in which he died. And the Scripture tells us in Isaiah 53 that God looked down and saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. I'm so glad for the sacrifice of Christ. And it wasn't because he was tricked into it, but he willingly came. And it certainly wasn't, as we mentioned, it wasn't based upon the merit of the sheep. Well, that's just a really good sheep. And that's one lovely sheep. And oh, the wool is so soft. And that sheep just really touches me. Nothing on behalf of this sheep. Simply out of the fact that the shepherd loved the sheep when they were unlovely and unloving and unlovable. Jesus said, I'll gladly come as a good shepherd and give my life for the sheep. I submit unto you the salvation we have is a work of grace. Because Jesus said, I lay down my life of myself. He did so because he loved us. And that love that he had for us was rooted in the eternal purposes of God and in nothing else. I'm glad for God's grace. Let's look at the text again. And we'll just read a few of the verses and a couple of others I'm going to add on. But just think of what's being said here. And do you sense the grace in this passage? Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I tell you, it's by grace. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. By grace, my friend, Jesus Christ is the door. And by grace, he allows us in and we can come in and out and find pasture. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. But was by grace. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father.
grace all over that. Look at verse 27, verse 28.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give them. They shall never perish. Grace, my friend. Grace. Do you see it in the passage? Do you sense it there? Dear sinner, you will not get to heaven by your works. You will not get to heaven by your religion. You can only get to heaven by the grace of God through the merits of Jesus Christ. Jesus left heaven, came to earth, lived a perfect life, crucified as a sinner, though he never sinned. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He's at the right hand of the Father. One of these days he's coming back. And I'll tell you, as he said, he's the door. You want life? You have to go by Him. There is no other way. And it is by grace. I lay it down on myself, Jesus said. Let me offer you in closing. We usually hear of those who died from sickness or disease or of old age. And we often hear of those who died as accident victims. And every now and then we'll hear of someone great, of great value, who risked their life for another. So a full sacrifice was made in the behalf of someone else. And we appreciate that and we applaud that, don't we? But nothing compares to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. No one can adequately describe nor fully understand the horrible anguish of God's wrath unharnessed, nor the solitary grief that comes when one is absolutely forsaken by God. Only Jesus knows that. And He didn't do it for Himself, but He did it for others. Are we not moved in our souls? You should be. Are we not moved in our souls when we realize when Jesus said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." My friend, Jesus gave His life voluntarily. He rendered the supreme sacrifice on our behalf. And Jesus did so because we had a great need. And He loved us, therefore by His grace, He laid down His life for the sheep. And I submit unto you that these thoughts should, first of all, cause every Christian to have a tender heart toward their Savior. And second of all, these thoughts ought to woo the unsaved to respond in faith, trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus said, "I lay it down on myself." May it touch your hearts. Let's stand. Father, we commit this time to You today. And Lord, You know every heart here. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. And those of us who are saved, may we rejoice in the salvation we have. And Lord, may we our hearts be tender toward You, that we'd love You more and more day by day, because You have saved us. You've given us eternal life. Thank You so much for laying down Your life on our behalf and taking it again. So save the lost, strengthen the saved, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Numbers 331. 331.